episode of the Moss House Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter B. Gunn, and I'm here with our current artist in residence, Demarcus McGoy. Did I say that right this time?
You got it.
Yes. Only took me three times, everybody. New record for the podcast. All right, well, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here at Moss House today.
We're happy to have you. It's been you've been here for almost 2 full weeks now, right?
Yeah. Hit it home pretty soon in a couple of days.
Yeah. Feels like I just started being able to hang out with you. Now you have to go. Damn shame. And your open workshop is
open
tomorrow?
Open studios tomorrow night, 6 to 9 p.m. I mean, by the time everybody hears this, like, it'll be over.
It'll be long gone, but I mean, I'm excited. It'll probably be out, what's today, the 9th? Maybe right about the 17th.
Okay.
Maybe. The next podcast comes out will be this one. So, where did you grow up?
I originally grew up in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. Grew up in Dallas, Texas.
I don't know what that was. What time did it happen?
Dallas, Texas, in this neighborhood called Oak Cliff, Dallas. And I went to college at a school called Prairie View A&M University right outside of Houston. And then I moved to New York in, I think, 2007. So, yeah, I've been in New York. I now live in Brooklyn, New York, and Fort Greene, and have my studio in Red Hook, Brooklyn. So, yeah.
How long have you been in Brooklyn for?
What, like 15, 16 years, something like that?
Yeah. Been here for a while now.
Yeah. I pretty much know the ins and outs now.
Do you usually just stay in Brooklyn, or do you go to all the other boroughs too?
I used to go all over New York. When I first moved here, I took a job with the city, so I was working for the city of New York. And so I used to teach computer courses, and then I used to teach supervisors for Parks and Recreation. I used to teach them how to use like certain equipment. And then when I was working for Parks, I was also working like in rec centers. So I was teaching like the community how to use computers and how to like job search. So they have rec centers in every borough. So I was going everywhere from, man, Staten Island to Queens to Brooklyn. Yeah, Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn. Yeah.
Very cool. But do you count Queens as part of Long Island?
Oh, good question. Is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's on Long Island. It's weird.
Yeah. I did not know that.
I was just got in an argument with my friends about it the other day because I didn't really think about it, but he told me. So, yeah, Queens is a... He doesn't really count it as part of New York City.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, people are going to be mad at that. Like, it's New York City, but it's all on Long Island. It's kind of strange. So could you tell us a little about your art and your processes?
Okay. So what I do is my art always starts off as... I'm a mixed media artist, by the way, and I paint portraits and figures. So everybody that I create paintings of, they're people that I know or... family members or friends or people that I've just encountered with experiences in my life. It starts off with a story. So I'm also a life coach. And normally when I talk to people, they just open up to me and they just talk. And once I notice like a person is being vulnerable or they may share a story of like something of triumph or something of resilience or just something that like kind of sparks this inspiration, something just clicks and it's like, oh, wow, that's a good story. Like, I would love for people to hear that story one day. Or so I would ask the person, like, hey, do you mind if I paint a portrait of you and basically tell that story through the portrait and through the painting? So it kind of starts off as that. I normally do very, very large paintings and I use acrylics and I use fabrics and mainly... Specifically, I use like my grandmother's fabrics. And so she used to make us quilts. And so I inherited all her unused fabric collection. So now I put those fabrics into the pieces. Like, so like if I were to paint a portrait of you, like I would glue in some of her fabrics into your painting, you know? But since I've been here at Ma's house, I've been doing something a little bit different. I've been working on some very, very smaller pieces and they feel a whole lot intimate to me, and a little bit more, I guess, vulnerable, because I've been working on images of my collages of my family. So when my grandmother passed away, I inherited her fabrics, but I also inherited her scrapbooks, and her scrapbooks are combined with my grandfather and her great-great-grandmother, and well, her mother, which is my great-great-grandmother, and then my grandfather's parents. So before she passed away, I was able to go through some of the images and have her like narrate like who the people were to me, I mean, were to her. So I know who some of the people are, but some of the people I just didn't know who they were. But I just really love like these black and white images that I had. So it was like, I guess I just kind of took it upon myself to be the keeper of memories or records in my family. So I'm like preserving like my family history, my family legacy, and, you know, I guess this is like my inheritance, I guess, you know. So I've kind of taken the images and I've kind of like remixed them to like my eyes and, you know, through my lens.
They're all, I mean, I know everyone listening can't see them, but they're all, a bunch of them are right over here to my right, and they're all pretty, very amazing. Hopefully everyone gets to see them, especially tomorrow. People get to see them in person tomorrow. Online, we're making a video, so people will be able to at least get a few glimpses of them.
Oh, yeah. The, what you did a great job, by the way. Like,
for, I mean, the video's not done yet.
I mean, but I just saw like how you were just moving everything, and I was like, wow, Hunter is like the shit.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I did. So you were telling me a little about your art yesterday, but you did not tell me you were a life coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea. What I want to know is there one thing that you wish people could know about? Like, maybe like just one piece of advice you think people need to hear that's important.
Yeah, man. I mean, the funny thing is you ask that question. I normally, when I speak, I say this every single time. I always say that when I talk to people, like, part of my life coaching is create your life. So I'm always asking people, like, what is the life that you want to create? Or what is it that you want? But if there's one thing that I can say to anybody, I always say that every single person was born with a gift. And there's no one in the world that can do what you do. Like, no one. And you are uniquely designed, and it's your duty and your responsibility to use that gift, no matter what it is, to empower the world.
It's a good message.
Thank you, man.
I think my gift might be comedy, but I don't know how it's very empowering people. Maybe it makes them laugh. I guess that's good. That's always nice.
I mean, there's only one Hunter.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's also Jeremy. Kind of looks like me, but
twinsies.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The people that don't know, Jeremy is the executive director here at Mom's House.
Yeah, he's lead artist. If you don't know Jeremy, you guys are living under a rock. Everyone knows. I mean,
everyone knows Jeremy.
Everyone knows Jeremy. He's the coolest guy. Everyone, if someone comes by to Ma's house or anywhere that Jeremy might be, they always go, "Where's Jeremy?" I'm just like, I don't know. He's around here somewhere. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go find him.
He's off speaking somewhere. You know, he's off giving a lecture or workshop somewhere.
Everyone just always wants to talk to Jeremy. He's always such, he's a very interesting person. If you guys ever have a chance to stop Jeremy in the grocery store, be sure to do it. He'll really like it. He's not shy at all. He wants to talk to
him. Oh, he's going to hate it. He's going to hate it.
He is extroverted and loves talking to everyone he meets anytime. And if you stop by my house at like 11 p.m., he'll let you in.
Oh, he's going to.
He'll let you in. Don't worry. Trust me. He won't turn you away. He won't turn the sprinklers on. Jeremy actually installed these sprinklers with motion detection just 2 days ago. I've never been hit 3 times, everybody.
And it was Larry.
Man, DeMarcus was out there the third time. I don't know why. It's right next door. I pick my car every day. He did it on purpose.
When he hit you, it was like, it was slow motion.
Jeremy did it on purpose to put it there because he knows that's exactly where I put my car. Man. And why would he have a motion sensor on sprinklers? I do not understand. All right, let's get back to the questions. Okay, so how did you discover Mouse House?
Oh, man, I feel like it was fate. Like, I discovered Mouse House at the beginning of this year. I had just come back from a residency in France, and I was kind of just having that feeling of, like, not wanting to be in my studio, not wanting to be home. Like, I just missed it, you know? Because it's sometimes when you're in studio, it's really hard to get into that flow. And when I was in France, I was in a flow, you know. Mm. And I hadn't been that for a long time. And so I was like on Instagram, and it just kind of like popped up in my timeline. I saw this house that was like barn looking house that was red and white and bright red. And I was like, what is that? You know? And then I want to say like I scrolled past it and something said, go back. Like I heard it, like a voice said, go back. And I went back and I clicked it and I saw that it was an artist in residency. And I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. And then I want to say something said, like, they were having an open call for BIPOC artists. And then I heard something again say, submit. And I was like, huh? And it was like, submit. And then so I clicked on it and read the process and application. And I was kind of like bummed a little bit because I had been applying to a lot of residencies and I was getting a lot of rejections. And it was kind of like, I just don't want any more rejection. Like, I just can't take any more rejection, you know. But I just like answered the call and I submitted. And then I did the proposal. And the proposal was for me to start working on my family series. So I was thinking about the people that came before me, like my ancestors. And so I got an email from Jeremy and he was like, let's have a phone call. And I was like, oh my God, like what is it? Like, I'm gonna have to go through this interview process and like, what is it? Cause you know, having never met Jeremy, like he's intimidating. You know, you read his bio and you see all the things that he's done. It's like, oh my God, like you have to get those art language together. You know, you have to, you know, talk a certain way and stuff like that. And so, man, we did a Zoom and he was like, I just want to congratulate you. Like you are 2022, you know, artist in residency in my house. And I was like, what? What? You know, so it was really cool. So I kind of knew that I was coming like earlier in the year, but I couldn't announce it. And so the only time that I could come was like October/November, you know, so.
And we're glad it worked out.
Me too. You know what? I really feel like it was the perfect time. You don't really know what the perfect time is, you know? And I was telling Jeremy about it that this time last year, my grandmother passed away. And so this was like a year ago. And I didn't know how I was going to take this year. I didn't know, like, because I think about it like every day. And so the fact that I was at Ma's house on the day that she passed away, like it felt like fate. Oh. You know, it felt like, you know, because this is Jeremy's grandmother's house, you know, that he turned into a residency. And I was able to dedicate my time here to work on actually like her family members, you know, and images of her and stuff like that. So, yeah, it just kind of felt like I was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, you know? If there was fate, if fate's real, that's definitely definitely something like a testament to.
Yeah.
There are no coincidences. That's pretty amazing.
I totally agree with that. Totally.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to Jeremy being intimidating a little bit. Just because.
And hilarious, by the way.
He is very funny. It runs in the family, for sure. But he is in the newspaper every day, I think. He has a New York Times. Over here, well, him and his mom especially right now.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the last artist residence here. We went to go grab some food after we were working. And at this random Mexican place, she starts looking through the Spanish newspaper there and it's just, Anthony's is in there.
What?
We had no idea. No one even told her. We didn't know.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Jeremy's in something. News every day on him. So I can't even imagine. Like, just Jeremy to me, they're all my family. So it's like, I don't even. It's the whole, I don't see them from the lens of, oh my God, this guy. He's huge. I've known him since he was playing World of Warcraft. And he was like 8 or maybe, I'm not sure. How old is he? It's like 8 or 9 years older than me.
Did you say Warcraft or Minecraft?
World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
It must have been like 12 at that time, maybe 13. Okay. Yeah. I just remember that's when I started like gaining consciousness. So I was 4 or 5 years old.
Got it.
And then I got a little Game Boy. How do I beat this level, Jeremy? I can't do it. Yeah. That's how I remember Jeremy, really. But now, he's so cool. It's insane. Okay. Well, we were also talking about the residencies, how you were out of the flow. So how does your process change while you're on residencies rather than when you're at your home studio?
Good question. It's funny because I feel like it almost kind of feels like speaking different languages. So it's like I have a studio in Texas at my parents' house. So I have like a whole body of work there that I've just been working on that nobody's never seen. And so it's like, I feel like I'm speaking that language. Then I go to my Brooklyn studio where I normally I'm like all day, every day, and I'm speaking that language, and which is a totally different set of paintings, again, that nobody's never seen. And then I come here and it's like, I'm speaking another language, you know, and I'm doing a whole new other series, you know, of like my family, like mixed media and collages and stuff here, you know. So, but my studio in Brooklyn, man, it's like, it's my sanctuary, you know, it's like, it's my laboratory. And when I am like happy, when I'm like pissed, it's like, I can always count on my studio. I can go there, I can shut the door, and I can just create. Like, I can just imagine, I can dream, you know, to my wildest dreams, and I can just create whatever the fuck I want to create and do what I want to do, you know? And I used to always hear about, like, artists going into this flow, and I was never that kind of artist. I always felt like I was, like, do a certain thing, like, oh, okay, like, I painted the shirt today. That was good enough. Let me go home, you know? Or I painted the hair today, the eyes. That was good. Let me go home. Now, man, it's like, since coming back from France, it's like, now, I think that was a deer, by the way, outside.
You heard the noise. Fence, yeah.
Now, it's like, you're in this flow, and it's like, I totally zone out. And it's like, I come out of it, and it's like 8 or 9 a.m. in the morning. And it's like, I have to ask myself, like, did I eat? You know, it's like, oh my God, like I went 2 to 4 hours and I didn't eat because I've just been working. So it's like, I try to make sure to have my meals and stuff already prepared, and I just pull it out of like the refrigerator or something at my studio ready to eat and stuff like that. So,
can you control going into that state at all? Or does it just happen?
It just happens. This is a very like euphoric stage. Like man, it's so weird, like, because I don't like smoke or anything like that. So it's like, I never really know how to get into it. Like, it used to be like I would drink Red Bull or I would drink coffee. What I really think what it is that I signed the paperwork to have 2 solo exhibitions in 2023 and 2 in 2024. So it was like, once I got that, it was like game on. It was like, you know, I got something I want to say. And it's time for me to like show people what I can do and the stories that I know and the people that I know, let me create that, you know? Cause again, it's like, I do know some people that do stuff the same. I mean, they use like the same kind of like materials that I use, but nobody can tell the story the way that I can, you know? So.
Interesting. I remember, I don't really go into that flow state very often, but the first time I ever noticed it happened, I have ADD. So they have like, there's like this, you can't pay attention to anything. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, but then sometimes you're just like basically in the flow state for like, you're hyper focused on this one activity. And the first time I ever noticed it was I had just gotten a PlayStation 3 for like Christmas or something, and I played the new Call of Duty for like 9 hours straight.
Oh wow!
and I had no, it felt like it was like 35 minutes. I was like, what the heck just happened? And then, but it was so weird. And then, like my mom was like, what the hell are you doing down there? I was like, I don't need. Don't even know what time it is. Like, where am I? There was like no clock down there either. Didn't have a phone back then. And then I realized, like, okay, so if I'm really having a good time doing something, I just am stuck in that flow state. But as I'm getting older, it's harder and harder to like get in that zone unless I have like an amazing idea for a project that I'm just like editing for hours. That's like feels different now than it used to.
What I kind of noticed now is I had a friend. He kind of like guided me through that. He was like, now you know how to reach the euphoric state, you know. But he was like, now that I know how to reach it or get into the flow, how can I get there quicker? Because sometimes I'm in the studio and I'm just sitting there like for 8 hours all day and it's like nothing hits and I'm waiting for it to like hit. So now he's like, pay attention to how I got there, so when I come back next time I know how to like get there quickly again.
That's good advice. I'm going to have to write it down. I have been getting better on, like, as I get older, I notice the problems I have, things that I would do to make it so I can't do what I'm trying, like, my work. Now I know, like, oh, if I can't do this, I'm not going to do that, like, eliminate things so I can actually be productive when I'm trying to make art.
Yeah.
Or I then get so distracted, because there's so many distractions out.
There's a lot of distractions.
Especially on the computer, like, this giant PC has all these, all the software and has all these games that I could be playing or, like, watching, being connected to the internet, when it's, like, literally just a click away.
Yeah.
Is insane.
So how did you think you get into your flow? Like, what are the things that you do?
Well, I would say definitely the only time, not the only time, but I'm really, for some reason, like, it's more meditative state for me now. So it's like, if I'm driving for a long time and like a song hits, like, I'll start thinking. And then that's when I come up with all my ideas. Because
you don't want to ask you, like, what song?
I mean, it could be anything. Let's see the...
Because, Hunter, you strike me that you listen to a lot of different music.
I do. The other day, I mean, the last time it happened, I was driving here. But from my dad's house, it was like 2 hours. And I was just like, well, I want to listen to 80s music. 80s rock and roll today. And I hadn't for a long time. I used to really like, that was like my first love of music was like Queen. I liked Real We Will Rock You.
Okay, yeah.
Then I got Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I really, really liked all that songs. And I used to hate hip hop because... I was like, I couldn't understand what they were saying, first of all,
because
I couldn't hear it back then at all. So I was like, I don't get it. Just, the beats are kind of cool. And then I started listening to the Marshall Mathers LP2 came out, and I was well, I'll try this. And then I really liked it, and then I was like, oh, Dr. Dre is very cool. I started really liking, like, the sonically sounding beats and the melodies and stuff like that, so I got into hip-hop, and now that's definitely my favorite. So I listen to, like, hip-hop music. You like boom bap, and it's like classic. I like some trap music, but it's just, that's not getting me in the flow straight.
I would agree with you on that. Like, I can't paint to rap music.
Yeah.
Or like hip hop. I have to I can paint to like say like Queen. Mm-hmm. Like, I have this, cause I love, it's like I told you yesterday, I love this TV show Peacemaker, and they play like all like 80s type of like rock bands and stuff like that. I have this playlist from Peacemaker that I just listen to, and or I listen to a lot of like lo-fi music.
Lo-fi music is great.
Yeah, I like lo-fi music. It kind of like zones me out. There's this other group, I can never say their name, but it starts with a K. But there's this artist, what is his name? Is it Leon Bridges, I think. He's out of Fort Worth. I know the song is called Texas Sun, S-U-N. But that song is a collaboration with this group. So I always look for Texas Sun, and then I click that group. It starts with a K, and I just let it flow.
This is nothing to do with what we're already talking about, but since you are from Texas, do you like country music?
You have to make this deep sigh. There's like a yes and a no. It's like a, it's not my choice. Like, now that I don't live there, like, it's not my choice. Like, when I was younger, like, I can get into it, you know, like, because it's a story. Like, we were saying yesterday, like, I love stories, you know. I can listen to stories all day or tell stories. But it's like, when you live there and when you're listening to the radio, so before the whole XM radio and satellite and SoundCloud and all that, you had to, like, really just listen to the radio stations.
Yeah.
And if it was a song that you didn't like, you just had to keep going through stations. And back then, yeah, I could drive with my windows up and sing it out loud, you know. But once I got into the hood, I would turn it off. But, like, now, like, as an adult, it's not my go-to. There's just so many selections, like lo-fi and all that kind of stuff. There's just so many selections that I could play now, you know.
There's the first, I guess, I think it's kind of country, you know, the song, it's like the golden fiddle and the devil. It's the guy, it's like he's playing the fiddle, and then the devil comes, and he's like, they challenge him to like a battle off, like a music competition. You never heard that song
before? I never heard that before.
What is that song called? It's so good. That was like first time I remember asking my dad. Must have been like 5.
Okay.
Devil Went Down to Georgia. That's the song.
No, I never heard that one.
Never heard that?
Uh-huh.
It's insane. It's like I feel like it almost like it's kind of like a rock song because it's like a guitar solo. But
I could see that. A lot of
fiddle.
Yeah. Like, there's some love songs to me. They sound like R&B songs to me.
Yeah. I mean, the only country I listen to really currently is my sister loves Taylor Swift. Like, more than anything. Just, like, the older especially.
I mean, secretly I do too.
Yeah. Taylor Swift goes
just
hard.
Just don't take my hood card from me.
Yeah. I mean, when I lived in Philadelphia, no matter what I was listening to. If it was on the radio, there was always, there's lots of bad areas in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. especially even close to like the colleges there, like one street. So I'd go to like pick up my friends, and I was like, well, this is an interesting area. Let me just change my radio station to the classic sports radio, okay. My favorite sports radio there, just so no one starts laughing at me, because it's just interesting. You don't want people to like come up to you for no reason in Philadelphia, because that's when things go bad. People start talking usually. I mean, Philadelphia's not a good place. Very dangerous.
You've only been there once.
Really?
Yeah,
I've only been there. I really like it there, but it is like their murder rate in Philadelphia. 50% of murders go unsolved.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm from Texas, so yeah. I get it.
It's insane there.
Louisiana's right down the street, so murder capital of the world.
They have the main problem with Philadelphia in the streets is the drug epidemic there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's really like there's like a drug town, basically. It's like multiple city blocks, and police don't, just like where people go from all over the world there. It's called Kensington.
Okay.
People from all over the world go there just to do heroin.
Wow.
And being like unbothered by police and people. Wow. And yeah, they drive through there to go like anywhere. So that's where I would be like, well, time to,
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, time not to hype up the people who are like strung out. It's very, very strange. Not a good look for Philadelphia. I'm not sure what they're going to do. There's nothing they can really do about it. It's too late now. It's just what it does. Yeah. And one more thing I'll say about music is the most recent song I really liked again was by Elton John, I'm Still Standing. And that song got me into the flow state of like thinking of a music video type of thing before. So that's like, right. My mind goes, because that's kind of where I started and liked making videos. So I know I can make the best music video ever. Times the song called I'm Still Standing. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to listen to that song my very first residency was in Spain, Barcelona, and I used to listen to that song every day.
Yeah. I've listened to it almost every day for the past like week and a half, 2 weeks.
But you listen to the Elton John version?
Yeah, there's another version?
Yes, another version.
What is this by?
It's I forgot his name, but it was from the movie Scene. And I think I started listening to it because my niece, I took her to go see Sing, and she used to sing that song.
Oh, Sing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember like Johnny the gorilla.
I was going to say, was it the gorilla who sang that song?
Yeah, that's the song he sang.
That's so funny because a couple of my friends make music, and every time the gorilla comes on in the commercial, I'm like, oh, he's kind of just like you singing. Because he like wants to be rap, but he has a great singing voice, and he does all those dance moves or whatever. It's like, oh.
Yeah, dude. He was my favorite character.
He was his favorite character also. It seems very, I forget the word, but you can connect to that character very easy because he seems to go through, like, trying to burst in the music scene, getting nervous and stuff. Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I think we've talked about it already a little bit. It seems like your family is your big inspiration for at least this part of your art.
Yeah, this series it is. Yeah. And, I mean, normally, like, if you were to see my other art, it's mainly, like, more my friends. Mm. Like, I travel a lot, too. So, it may be, like, people that I meet when I go, like, out of the country and stuff like that. Again, just by having a conversation and I take a photo of them with my iPhone or something like that, and then I come back in the studio and I create like a piece centered around it, you know. But yeah, you're right. These particular pieces, everyone is like, I call the series like those before me. So it's like everybody that was born before I was. So it can go from, I actually have a slide. The oldest photo that I could find was like a slide. And I think I know who they are. I think they are the parents of my great grandfather. But I don't know their names. And the reason I know that is because I know that he was from a place called Giddings, Texas. And he moved from Giddings to an area in Texas called, well, I think at the time, I think they came back on a wagon, what I was told. They came to this area as a wagon, and it was him and seven other men, and they, like, founded this community called Shiloh. And so it's, like, in the rural countries of Texas. And so the reason why I know that it's them, or I think that it's them, is because the back of the slide has Giddings, Texas, and the photographer. And so I Googled who the photographer was, and I Googled how, or I read how, like, people from, at this time, this was like the only photographer who would photograph like Black people. So Black people came from all these different towns just to be photographed there. And then just through the process of going through the scrapbook, I do remember when my great-grandmother was alive, I did ask her who some of the people were. So I kind of remember some of those stories, because she used to have the photos like on her dresser before they were in the scrapbook. I think I just kind of like went off on a tangent. I started thinking about my great-grandmother and my mom went somewhere else. So they're all like family members, you know. So they're like old. Like, some people I know who they are, some people I don't. They're old, like, black and white photos. Like might have like some clear tape on it, like, just to hold them together, you know. So I'm trying to preserve these stories, and I'm trying to preserve like this reality, you know. Originally, when I first started creating these pieces, I was kind of taking the backgrounds out of them and putting like a new background to it. But since I've been here at the residency, like, there's this book in the library that talks about like Black photography and just the history of how like Black photography came about. And then just seeing how the backgrounds, like, these, to me, like, the backgrounds are also characters. You know, it's like, for the viewers to see these backgrounds, it's like to imagine yourself sitting in front of these backgrounds, you know. And then some of the photographers were actually artists as well. So some of them actually painted the background. So I thought, like, okay, I want to be a little bit more true to the actual photograph and true to the photographer and true to his subject, which was like a family member, you know. So, yeah, I'm trying not to, like, recreate it so much that, you know, you lose a bit of the history. I want you to still know that the history and the story is there.
You're kind of just adding to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like adding to it, you know.
Just, because that's how I make my, come up with my best ideas for people. So I like collaborating with people.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday, I was like, do you have any ideas? And then we kind of went up from there. So when I do my best work, is when people have something and then can keep it going. So it's time for the more random questions now. More fun questions.
Okay.
I mean, kind of the bonus round. I think we are going to have time to do the draft, which is cool. Have to decide what the draft's going to be about. Okay.
I'm trying to think of the phrase they used to say in Mortal Kombat. I forgot.
I know, like, three of them.
Yeah.
I know the finish him, and then the come over here.
Yeah, come over here. Yeah, I like this is that round. Get over here.
Oh, yeah. Does it get over here or come over here? I like the frozen guy. Or the Scorpion, I think, is the one who does that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Someone does that. I was never very good at that game. But I was always a fan of fighting games. Okay, so what do you think is one of the most important personality traits for artists?
Ooh, that's a good one, Hunter. Ask me that one more time, just so I can have it.
What do you think is the most important personality trait for an artist to have?
There's so many. That's a really, really good question. Nobody's never asked me that before.
Really?
Nobody's never asked me that question. Some of the questions people asked before that one was never asked. I would say what some people have said about me. Some people have said about me is that like, I carry myself like a business. You know, some artists that they've dealt with in the past, they're late. They're not like artists, like people of their word. So I say, for me, I always say people, like, I was a business owner before I was an artist. So like, I had a design firm, you know. So I show up to meetings on time, well, early, which is on time. So I'm always on time. If I say I'm going to call you, or if I say I'm going to do something, then I do it. So I guess maybe I just have integrity, you know. That's a really, really good question, because I have a lot of friends that are artists, and they all have really, really good personal qualities. I'll say, like, I said nothing, like, I think out of experience, whether it's a gallery or whether it's an artist, if I'm doing like a partnership or collaboration, I would love to find people or attract people that have the business mindset that I have, you know?
Yeah. Not many artists have business mindsets, to be honest. So it's more rare, you know, especially with like, because a lot of artists break away from like capitalistic thought. Yeah. Just like, we need people like that. But then they kind of get into a weird spot where now they need money to survive, to be able to, now they have to reteach themselves how to be, not necessarily capitalistic, but just able to put a number value. Just the classic supply and demand graph. You need to do something like that.
But I also think that's also like, even like what you said, I think it's also like a conversation of value, you know, like them even knowing their value. Like for the long time, I didn't know my value, you know. And I think someone gave me some advice about like, look at the last five people that you texted, or look at your top five people in your phone, or who are the five people that you're around all the time. And like, that's who you become, you know. So
I'm gonna do that right now.
I had to like look at that and take inventory on that. And so like, I have artist friends that we thought the same. And then when I kind of changed my circle a little bit, my mindset kind of elevated a little bit, you know, so yeah.
Interesting. I just looked at my phone and I was like, oh, well, let me just read out who. But most of them are group chats with like either Jeremy, Brianna, my aunt Denise, or my other friends in Westchester.
That's a pretty good group.
Yeah, that is a very good group chat to be
part of. Army heavy hitters right there. Yeah.
And then, but the people, my other group chat, like I used to, once I moved away and like dropped out of school and everything, I kind of didn't really stop talking to these guys, but they were going through school and I was always away when they were back home. So we like weren't always talking, but now we always get to see each other. But, like, so they all graduated college, and they're either, like, becoming like a lawyer or a doctor, or like, a sports manager, a dentist. And my old friend, my friends back in Philadelphia, I mean, they were artists, but they were not the same. Like, I had to, these guys just definitely being surrounded by people who are constantly doing good, like, not necessarily good things, just shooting for, like, the stars, I guess, but Anthony's, everybody around here also is always so amazing. So I'm just constantly surrounded by people doing amazing things, which is nice, rather than where it was just a few years ago. People are not doing amazing things here. They're just looking for a good time. So,
And look at you now. You're like marketing director, right?
I mean, kind of. Director. I'm actually the director of productions.
There you go. Let's get a 400, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I've come a long way. Definitely from doing bad things. But I came up with the idea just now of what we should do a draft for. So, something new that I've been wanting to try.
Well, I'm nervous on there, though.
Okay, so we have five picks.
Okay.
And our draft is to pick the best five personality traits to make a great artist.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you get the first pick.
Okay. Why are you making it so hard? Okay. It's fine. Okay.
Making a timer. We have 20 seconds. 20 seconds on the clock.
20 seconds each for the whole
thing? For each pick.
Okay. Got it.
Starting now.
Okay. Let's say integrity.
Integrity?
Yeah.
Okay. You got integrity. All right. 9 o'clock is starting now. I'm going with creativity.
Okay.
Creative. Alright, you're up.
Authentic.
Authentic? Okay. Yeah. That's a good one. It kind of takes what I was gonna do. Is original different than authentic? I guess real, I would say original.
Good question. Good question. I think you can be authentic and doesn't have to be original. This is not the original photographs that I'm working on, but they're authentic stories and they're authentic creations.
Mm.
But I didn't take the photograph. That makes any difference.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going with original then. Okay. Originality.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think this is original for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I've never seen anything really like this before.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So my turn. I would say creative. I'm gonna add that.
You can take one.
I can't take one of yours? Okay.
Yeah, once it's picked, it's off the board.
Oh, okay. You didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah, I should have made it now.
All right. Do. Let's see. Another integrity I think did. Yeah. Adventurous.
Adventurous? That's a good one. That's a good one.
Because I'll say this because I'm the type of person that, and it goes back to what you said about, you asking me about the country song. Mm-hmm. Like, I think for me, my experience is, like I paint my life and I paint my experiences or create around my experiences. So if I've never left Texas, all I'm going to create is things I've seen in Texas. So that's why I choose adventurous, because I think me traveling around the world and stepping out and doing certain things, it shows in my work. And a lot of my friends never leave their places. So.
Adventurous as a third round pick is pretty good. That's a great pick for the third round. Let's see. Oh man, I gotta start my timer. I'm gonna go with impeccable work ethic.
Ah man, that was my next one.
It was a steal at this part of the draft.
Okay. Oh man.
All right, you're on the clock.
Shucks. And I really don't want to say shucks, but I say shucks.
I haven't heard anyone say that. The first one's ever been said on the podcast.
Shucks. Okay. If I can't say creative.
I got some good ones. I got creative, originality, and work ethic. Really coming along, this artist.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable? Ooh. Yeah. That is a good one. That's going to make some good work.
Because I always feel like with vulnerability, when I was growing up, I used to think that vulnerability was a weakness. Mm-hmm. But I feel like vulnerability is a superpower, depending on how you use it.
Yeah.
You know, you can, like, I've learned that whenever I'm vulnerable, it draws people into me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then once you draw people into you, you have their attention, and you can say and do what you want.
It's hard to have good things happen to you when you're not vulnerable, because then you'll kind of ignore what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see. Now my fourth pick.
Gosh, I only got one left.
You only have one pick left? Yeah. Oh, man. Got to get a nice round them out perfectly. Man, I was on the tip of my tongue. What was it going to be? Let's see. Great speaker.
That's good.
Because if you're a great speaker, then you can tell great stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Dog it.
That's a new one too. Dog it.
Dog it. Only because my mom is probably going to be listening.
Oh, dog it.
And my dad. okay.
You just draw yourself a six.
I totally just drew a six. I'm not going to say it, but I'm just going to put it just in case.
Honorable mention?
Honorable mention. Yeah, that's what it is. Honorable mention. Because I feel like I don't have anything on here that says about, like, being, because you already said, like, creative, like, artistic, or.
Oh.
I don't have anything.
Artistic is different from creative.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah, because, like, I can't draw. But I'm creative. Like, I can't go ahead and draw, like, something.
But, okay.
Like, if someone told me to draw a moose, I couldn't do it. But someone who's artistic could definitely do it.
So I wanted to say artistic, but for some reason I think I kind of want to say, instead of artistic and creative, I want to say expressive.
Because
I'm wondering, does expressive combine, see, now I'm trying to cheat, does expressive combine creativity and artistic? Because you get to express
express yourself, like, yeah, like the NWA song. Hmm. Expressive.
And I have, and then after that, I have an honorable mention.
Expressive is an interesting one. Could you read me out your list so far now?
Okay. I have integrity. So for me, I feel like the, okay, blah, blah, blah. Rewind. Integrity, authentic, adventurous, vulnerable, and expressive. Oof.
It's a pretty good artist right there. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, expressive is a good one. Kind of overarching to many different things, many different personalities. Hmm. All right, well, I'm on the clock. I got 20 seconds to think of something. I'm going to go with a works well with others.
Oh man, that's a good one. I was going to say something similar to that.
All right. So for my artist, I'm going to call this guy Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
I'm not sure why, but. All right. Bartholomew, his best thing, he's very creative, he's original, he has an impeccable work ethic, he's a great speaker, very articulate, and works well with others. So, great with collaborations.
That's good. And then, what would be an honorable mention
for Bartholomew? Honorable mention? I would say humble.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, what's your honorable mention?
Like motivator, like self-motivator.
Ooh.
Because I feel like being an artist, a lot, especially when you're in a studio, you don't have anyone else to talk to but yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just you and your mind. And so depending on what you're used to hearing, like growing up, different voices and, you know, different projections and people talking to you. Some artists that I know are not kind to themselves. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you have to be a self-motivator and like your own cheerleader at times, you know, mm-hmm. even when the world is not, you know, dapping you up and hugging you saying, oh, go, I want to say, go Jeremy. Why did I want to name my,
you got Jeremy.
My artist name is Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Okay. And I'm not dapping you up. You know, it's like you have to be like your own self motivator. You know, mm-hmm. motivate yourself to get up and go to the studio. Motivate yourself to say this is like a job. It's 9 to 5. Motivate yourself to say my work is good. Even when other people are not liking. Now, I'm not going to say liking. Like you're not getting the likes on Instagram mm-hmm. or on TikTok or whatever. You know, people, your family's not like really digging your art. Your artistry, you know, because maybe your family's not your audience.
Mm.
You know, I always feel like your audience and your collectors and your listeners and your viewers, they're out there. They're just waiting for you to create and mm-hmm. they'll find you.
They'll find you. That might be, that's up definitely top 5 personality traits is the like a unwavering self-belief in your art.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to do that, definitely. But you got to at least, if you don't believe, it's good. I think it's good to be like your biggest critic. But if you don't believe that you can do better or you can do it,
yeah,
then no one else is going to believe. That's like something I've definitely found. Like if I come up with an idea, I'm like, oh, do you guys want to do this? You're like, I don't. No, that's not a good idea. Then you do it because you believe in the idea anyway. Then that's when you find people that either your fans or now they're like, that turned out is a good idea. Can I hop in and help you out?
Yeah.
Which... they had a chance before, they didn't want to. Depends who it is. If it's someone who I actually would need and can actually provide value, I'd let them help me now mm-hmm. and work with them. But it's just like someone that hops in because they think you can add value to their lives or do something for them rather than wanting to help you.
Yeah.
Slippery slope. But, so let's read our things out one more time, okay. Including. And then the people who are listening to this, you can decide for yourselves what kind of artist you'd like to see.
Oh, nice.
Have their next Moss House. Which artist of these two would like to be the next Moss House resident? These two non-existing artists.
That's a good one. Okay.
All right. So my guy, Bartholomew, they're creative. They have great originality. They have impeccable work ethic. They're going to make, like, 300 of whatever they're making when they're here in 1 week. They're great speakers, so they're going to have a great open studio night. They're going to wow the crowd, cut out a few jokes, advocate well for themselves, they're a little extroverted, but they're just a nice person to talk to. They work great with others. You can sit down. You could collaborate with them. They'll help you out. They're nice. They're not going to tell you you suck. And then, best of all, their underlying through all my sixth backup pick, is they're humble through it. They don't hype themselves up too much, and they just do the good work. Let's hear about your guy.
Well, my artist, Jeremy, he is an artist of integrity. He's authentic with his artwork. He lives an adventurous life. He's also very vulnerable, and he's expressive. But more than anything, he is a self-motivator. So he is his biggest cheerleader, and he believes in his art, and he values his art, and he knows that other people will believe and value it also.
You know, your guy sounds like an introvert, and my guy sounds like an extrovert.
Right. I was thinking the very same thing as you were saying that.
That's interesting.
That was a good one, Hunter.
Thank you. Just come with that idea. I will say that it's not, I kind of took the idea. Now, I don't listen to any podcasts, which is weird to say, but just because I don't want to start stealing people's ideas, but you were talking about like reels. Yeah. I saw those reels. People are just on Instagram making reels like, let's draft five best drinks. And then they would just go back and forth on those. That's like an interesting like topic people can just do, especially about art. But now I have to keep coming up. So the spin is creating the best artist. That's my originality.
Okay.
Otherwise, just he's stealing the idea. And I also don't know who I saw who did it, because I lost them after I saw the first video, because Instagram will do that to you. It will just be gone forever. So I'm actually looking for it. So thank you guys for the idea. Sorry I cannot actually give you credit. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely... There's a lot of great things out there people make, and then I think that's part of the beauty of being an artist is you're not necessarily stealing someone's idea, but you can make it your own in a way.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely plagiarism out there, but you can build on things, which is something I love to do.
You know? Speaking on that, I said I would. So now I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I said I would never talk about this ever. So I actually kind of had something like that similar happen to me before. I saw an image on Instagram, and it was a beautiful image, and I'm not going to say what image it was, but it was a beautiful image. Legally, I can't say what image it was. Mm. And my parents wanted a piece to hang in their living room. And so I created this piece. I saw this image online, and I asked this guy who posted it, and I was like, hey, are you the photographer? And he was like, no, I'm not. He said, I just love the piece. And I didn't know who the photographer was. And so I'm thinking, you don't know what Oak Cliff, Texas is, but it's a neighborhood in Dallas. But it's like, I'm just thinking, I'm like 40-something years old, and I'm still believing I'm this kid from Oak Cliff, Texas. Like, nobody will ever see this, you know. And as a business owner, like, I knew. No, not to do it, but I just did it anyway. I was like, oh, it's not going anywhere. So I used this image for this painting and had it hanging in my parents' living room. And so one of my galleries, I don't even think I posted the painting. I think I just put it to a story. So one of my galleries saw the image, and they wanted to exhibit it. And so I submitted an exhibition, and the piece ended up selling. But not only that, the piece ended up going viral. And so, the piece was, like, sold and gone, you know, collector has it. And then the photographer ended up contacting me from, like, another country.
Jeez.
And so I had to go through a settlement. So I had to, like, hire a lawyer, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and go through these contracts and all that kind of stuff, you know, talk to their gallery. And, I think, like, the lesson from that, just like talking about whole copyright and stuff like that. It's like, I think, and of course, like I have friends who've never even heard this story. And I could hear them right now. They're probably like, oh, if I was you, I would have did such and such. And if that were me, such and such, you know, it's like, you can say that you can say that and when you haven't been through it, you know, but when I went through it, like I was embarrassed and, you know, I was like, I'm this artist that like I've had recognition. I've been in galleries and museums and, you know, newspaper and TV. And it's like, here it is. Like, I'm embarrassed that I used someone else's image. And I couldn't say that. I couldn't even tell the photographer that I was embarrassed because I was just that I was like shameful. But I had to like give myself some grace and stuff like that. Cause remembering it's like, you know, you're, some people are not kind to themselves when they talk to themselves. So now, like, that's why I paint my friends and family now. Mm. You know, that's why I get permission now. Like, even, like, I did a painting here of Ma, you know, and it was an image that, number one, it was one of your family's images. Number two, it was an image that Jeremy had retouched, you know, and it was like, I had to get permission, you know, to do that. I always ask for permission now when I create certain stuff, you know. If I didn't take the photo myself, I always ask for permission to do it. So I just want to say that's important to artists that are listening. Yeah,
thank you for sharing that. It sucks that it happened like that. Yeah. Especially if you're just trying to make something for your parents. Like,
yeah.
What are the odds in that?
But it also, you know what it also showed me? Someone else told me was like, it also showed me what I thought of myself. It goes back to that whole value thing, you know. I'm still thinking I'm this kid out of Oak Cliff, Texas, when in actuality, like, I'm an international artist, you know, like I've been in Paris and Spain and, you know, and here it is, like they saw my work across the pond, you know, so like my stuff was in Saatchi and all of that artsy. So it's like, it really kind of woke me up on the kind of artist that I wanted to be. So even that's probably like why these personal, this was such a good question, Hunter. Because even like the authenticity and integrity and vulnerability, like that all comes from experience for me too, you know, so.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we've subconsciously created the artist that we want to be.
I think we did.
Yeah. It's cool. Both of them are very, like, you named yours Jeremy. That's hilarious.
I don't know, like, why I was even in my head. Like, I was like, it just came out, like, oh, my artist Jeremy. And I was like, wait.
I think it's because Jeremy is a good, like, role model. And then, I mean, role model, just like, you look at what Jeremy's done, you're like, wow, that's a successful artist. Look what he's done, and then look what he's created for himself and for people, for his family, and like me and his mom, to come in and be able to support themselves off something that he created is very amazing. He's created, like, I don't even know what the word is for it, but
I would probably say maybe like a visionary.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes, Jeremy is definitely a visionary.
Yeah, I think this is a beautiful thing. And even his mom, Denise, like, my experience was like walking through the town, you know, like on Job's Lane, and just walking into businesses and people were waving at me like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh, hey. And they're like, oh, I saw you on the Miles House post. You know, I'm like, oh. And they're like, oh, we love Jeremy. You know, Jeremy's so nice. Jeremy's so talented. Not only that, people were like, oh, we know Denise. We love Denise. We went to high school with Denise. Like, she's so talented. And she's in the Parrish Museum and all of that, you know. So, yeah.
Aunt Denise, I mean, we always give Jeremy the credit, but Aunt Denise, she's the real creative. She made him.
She made him, huh?
Yeah. But she, so, like, yesterday we announced, I made an Instagram post, a story for the podcast, and I put the caption, the greatest artist to ever grace the podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think. I was hoping when I wrote that, I was like, oh, hope that doesn't make anyone mad, upset. Like, so it's like, oh, you're not as good as her. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you can refute it. She's been making art longer than anyone that's on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lifelong, I don't know. I have these paintings in my house that she made years ago that are like these amazing portraits of her family and like her native regalia and people. I'm just like looking at like, what the heck? How do you even make this with your hands? I don't even know. But, yeah, it's, like, insanely talented, everyone on the Jeremy side of the family. I guess I'm on Jeremy's side of the family, too, but I don't know. That generation, I don't think I'm technically part of it, although I'm the oldest one in the younger one, like, right after Jeremy.
Okay.
Everybody. But they're all, like, successful artists, lawyers, just top of the line, just amazing people. It's very, I don't know. It's a lot to, we have to live up to it.
have to get the...
I don't know how you... I don't think I can necessarily beat that, mm-hmm. what they've curated for themselves, yeah. but at least not put the family to shame. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's always the goal.
Yeah. Put the family to shame. If I do every once in a while, it happens. Whatever happens, happens. I'm sorry, guys. I did try. Okay. So I have one other good question.
Okay.
Good. I guess I have two that I want to ask you, and then we'll wrap it up. We've already hit an hour talking. I know. I don't know how this happens sometimes. Yeah. Good episodes are pretty long. Some get pretty long. Okay, so is there something that I haven't asked you about that I should have asked you about?
No. You know what? My time in Ma's house.
Oh, my God. Haven't I asked about that?
Man, we just have these conversations. We've been talking too much,
yeah. But, yeah, we're talking about yesterday how we just both...
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
Talk. Which is good for a podcast, but also we get sidetracked. You need one person that's like concise with their answers, and then are done. And then that's how the podcast moves along. Okay, so what are some of your favorite moments at Ma's house?
I've had a lot. I think definitely like just being here and just being in the environment. I really like the community, like the Shinnecock community, like. I didn't know what to expect coming in, you know. And it was like, I travel a lot and I've had a lot of experiences and some things I just kind of like know or I've read about. But coming here, like, I had no idea of like the Shinnecock culture, you know. And so I think like hearing that, experiencing that, and, you know, learning that, that's been pretty cool.
God, what is going up?
There's a house party going on upstairs.
Is it Anthony's? Oh, there! Oh, oh, God! Yeah. Things are happening. Yeah,
it's about to get started up in here, y'all. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think that, and I think like you know, doing the workshop, the bracelet workshop, like just being in the studio and like seeing the people, you know, from the reservation, and just like even your family, it reminded me of like my family, you know, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of being in the setting with my family, and you know, your family welcoming me in. And, but I also think, like, being in Ma's house, like, I'm very grateful for, like, the space and the time. You know, a lot of artists don't get that. You know, so, like, even my studio, it's a decent size, but it's kind of small. But, like, I'm in a house where I have, like, two levels. Like, I can create in the bedroom upstairs, or I can create downstairs in the studio. And it's spacious. Not only that, I have, like, outside, I have nature to inspire me. Mm. So, like, the colors of the trees and the house and the wind and like seeing the animals like the deers and the squirrels. I'm not used to seeing that all the time. And I feel like those are the type of things that can create like healing and connect you like to family and experiences and stuff like that and memories, childhood memories and stuff like that. So yeah, like I really enjoy like the freedom and the time and the space here.
Okay. Well, something, whatever's going on upstairs.
It's a party. It's a party.
Our event's starting.
Oh, Jeremy's just walked. We're being graced with Jeremy's presence. Hello. Okay. Well, I guess we might as well try wrap it up before things get really.
It's about to get crazy. Yeah. Y'all.
I don't even know what event's happening right now. To be honest, I think I missed the memo. I didn't look at the calendar. Don't tell Jeremy. I didn't look at the calendar. Okay. So, well, I guess now we're at the end of the podcast, everybody. Thank you for being on. It was awesome. But before you go, I like to offer every artist a chance to plug in all their social media, websites, whatever you want anyone to check out. It could be your friend's stuff, too. Okay. It's all up to you.
Well, for me, if anything, Instagram, Facebook, anything. If you just type in DeMarcus MCG, it pops up. My name pops up. So Instagram, DeMarcus MCG. Facebook, DeMarcus MCG, and my website is DeMarcusMcGoy.com. So, yeah.
Someone just walked in, looked, took one good look at us, and ran away. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
Good. Man, just thanks for, I want to thank Jeremy. I want to thank like the Dennis family for having me here at Ma's house. Like, I feel honored to be here and to be in this space, this sacred space, and thank you to the Dennis family for, you know, inviting me in. Thank you to YouTube Hunter for the podcast and for the video, man. So, hope to do more things with you in the future.
Me too.
To see you on the big screen, you know, yeah. So. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here. It's been an honor for you. It's been an honor for me. You have a lot of wisdom that you've shared with me over the past 2 days. Got a lot of great advice. Very good podcast. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. This has been the Modest House Podcast. And we'll catch you guys next time.
See you later.